Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Jaeger CPA Review and More. This podcast is sponsored by Jaeger CPA Review, the course provider that deals only with the AICPA blueprints. Please go to the JaegerCPAReview.com website and look at our various products. And we believe in seeing is believing. And therefore, please look at our 3-day free trial. Pick a subject, and it'll give you 3 days free access, unlimited, to that product. And I believe that once you look at that product and see how it works, you will pick Jaeger CPA Review as your course provider. If you have any questions, you can reach us at 301-874-4900. If you press 5, you may even talk to Phil Jaeger. Take care, everyone, on your journey for the CPA exam. We wish you the best and good luck.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Jaeger, and welcome to my podcast called CPA Review and More. Today, we're not talking about CPA Review. We're talking about more, and I'm very honored to be talking to this gentleman, Ian Schnoor, all right, who is in Canada. I don't know if you could be our first Canadian guest. Okay.
All right.
Now, Ian has got a phenomenal background. In fact, I said to myself, he wanted to be on this little podcast. You know, nothing. I'm so grateful I got him, you know. He could have been on the Leno show. He could have been on the Tonight Show or whatever. But he said, no, I want to be on that Phil Jaeger show. So I said, well, I can't account for your taste. So anyway, all right, Ian, welcome to the show. You are not a CPA, am I correct?
Because I am not a CPA, and thank you for having me on your show. I highly prefer this over Leno any day of the week, so thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, Leno's not on anymore. But,
oh, right, you know, right.
Yeah. So you'd be a very lonely guest.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, Ian, you live in where? Tell us where you're. Where you live.
I'm in Toronto, Canada.
Very nice city. I've been there.
You have? And, yes.
Yes. Been there a couple of times. And you're not really in the accounting realm of business. You're more or less in finance, right?
Yes. I function in the finance world, but it overlaps a lot with accountants. And I end up teaching some accounting and teach accountants. A lot of accountants have come through what we do. So there's a lot of overlap, but I myself, I'm not a I have a CFA designation, but not accounting designation.
CFA is a chartered financial analyst.
Correct. Chartered financial analyst. Yeah, through the CFA.
It's all over. It's in Canada, all over the world. Okay.
All over the world.
Very hard exam. It's not an easy exam. I know that.
And getting harder. That's right.
Is it getting harder?
Okay. The pass rate was 22% this year.
Wow. That's low.
That's very low.
Well, it's probably good. You know, it makes you more, you know, you're more in demand then.
Well, more something, I guess. But yes.
All right. Now, we're going to talk today about what Ian does. He does financial modeling.
Yeah.
And when I got the letter from his person who represents him, she said he'll talk about financial modeling. All right. Now, my first thought was, is he going to bring on a bunch of models? All right. And then they'll model their finances. I don't know. All right. But anyway, Ian, what is financial modeling? Because you are involved in that.
I am involved in that. And I could bring on some to show you, but they wouldn't get you too excited. But financial modeling is a skill and it's a discipline. It's actually more than just a skill that is becoming more and more important, has become increasingly important over the last 10, 20 years. And in a nutshell, it's a discipline of building a forecast, a financial forecast, usually of a company within a spreadsheet. So it's all about forecasting a company's future performance, forecasting all of their financial statements, typically 5 to 10 years into the future, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter. But that's it. It's simply the act of building a forecast. Now, all accountants have done that. We've all forecasted. The problem is, and this is why it's a discipline, the problem is that most people's forecasts that they build in spreadsheets are a disaster. They're a mess. And they make it very, very difficult for them to use. And what I always tell people is that the reason why modeling has become so important is because financial models built in spreadsheets have become the most important decision-making tool these days in all of accounting and finance. So many decisions people make are based on the backs of a financial model. It could be a planning decision, an operational decision. It could be an investment decision, a valuation decision. It could be a decision regarding a mergers and acquisitions opportunity. It could be a credit decision, a lending decision. And they're all based on what the future could look like. And we try to organize it and synthesize it in our spreadsheet tool, and it's called a model. But as I said, so often people don't have the skills to build them in a way. We like to say that a good model should be beautiful. It should be easy to use, easy to follow, easy to understand, like a beautiful piece of software within your Excel spreadsheet. But people don't know how to do that. And as a result, it makes it very difficult for people to use. And just last, if any of your listeners has ever had a spreadsheet that made them want to swear and curse all the time, where they found mistakes all the time, where it took them way too long to use it, to update it, to make sense out of it. Well, that's an example of a tool that wasn't working very well, but that they needed for a critical decision. So we want people to have phenomenal, best-in-class skills so that they can build world-class models and make optimal financial decisions.
Now, do you just train people for this area of financial modeling? You train them, you consult, all right? Now, I want to explain to you what's happening in the United States, okay?
Yeah.
The certified public accountants, all right? You know, people think CPAs are just people who do books, you know, debits and credits.
Right.
But we have a lot of CPAs that are going into consulting.
Yes.
Now, how many people in the U.S. do you think are going into financial modeling? All right. I mean, do you have any idea? All right. Well, you're training people.
Yeah.
Where do most of your people come when you train?
Well, so let's back up. So I started my career as an investment banker, and investment bankers are required to do lots of financial models and modeling because we're trying to help companies make acquisitions. We're helping companies with financing. So there's lots of modeling that goes on. And around 20 years ago, I left banking. I spent some time at a bank called BMO, and then I spent a few years at Citibank. It was called Solomon Smith Barney back then. And I left. And about 20 years ago, I started a training business called the Marquee Group. And at the Marquee Group, we run training courses all over the world to help people learn and improve their financial modeling skills. And so we've been doing that for a long time. And the firm is still very active doing that at all sorts of large global banks and regional banks, pension funds, business schools. But what happened was around 10 years ago, we started to notice something very interesting happening. What was happening was previously when banks wanted to hire new bankers, they would say, we're looking for someone with, I don't know, a CPA or a CFA or an MBA, whatever it was. We're looking for people with these qualifications. Around 5 to 10 years ago, that changed, and job postings would start to say, we're looking for those credentials, but we also want people who have strong financial modeling skills. They would start, so they started saying that years ago, we're looking for people with proven modeling skills. It became a prerequisite, if you will, to getting hired. And so all sorts of students and junior professionals panicked and they said, ah, how do I prove that I have strong modeling skills? And so what they would all do is take a course. They would attend a course from either Marquee Group or there's lots and lots of, well, not lots, but there's a handful. There's four or five training firms in the US that provide training in financial modeling. And people would say, I took a training course from XYZ company. And that's what they would say. But of course, as you would know, simply taking a course doesn't mean you've got strong skills. It means you took the course. If you really want to get good at anything, you need to practice it and really hone your skills over and over. So we realized that there was a huge need globally for an organization that was an accreditation body, a true accreditation body that would validate and test people's modeling skills so that if they pass the test, we could truly certify them as saying, yes, this person, this guy, Phil, truly has outstanding modeling skills. So when Phil applies for a job, he doesn't have to say, yeah, I have good skills because I took a course. He can actually say, I have this designation and now I've ticked a box. Now you know that I have excellent modeling skills because I got through a challenging, very difficult exam. So we're doing that through another organization we started 5 years ago called the Financial Modeling Institute. The FMI, the Financial Modeling Institute, is now an organization that a number of us around the world got together. And in 2017, we launched it to test and validate people's modeling skills. And we have people all over the world sitting the exams.
Who accredits you? You say you're accredited by who? See, we have accreditations here in the States.
Yeah.
Colleges are regionally accredited. There's, for example, business schools here, in accounting, they're accredited by the American Assembly of Collegiate Schools of Business.
Right? Yeah.
So my question is this, how do you prove you have the expertise and who accredits you? All right. And where are you going to get the training from? It sounds to me like the person who goes into this has very strong, analytical skills.
Yeah.
A strong math skills.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So if we take the person who is a CPA, okay, yeah. It's supposed to be the hardest professional exam.
Yeah.
And it probably still is. But the thing is, a person says, it sounds interesting. I'd like to go into mergers, acquisitions, that type of thing. All right. But here I am. I passed the CPA exam. Okay. Now, what's my next step? And what do I do once I get the CPA? I'm working in an accounting firm. I'm working for a corporation.
Yeah.
Right. Do I have to take time off? And how long does this financial modeling course go for?
Yeah. So these are a lot of great questions that you packed in there. Let me first start by saying that financial modeling is a very multidisciplinary skill set, which is part of why a lot of people like it. And as I said, it's equally relevant to people who work in finance roles and accounting roles. A lot of accountants do financial modeling as part of their job. If you happen to be an accountant working at a company and you're involved, you're in the finance team, you might be expected to build a forecast for the business or for a division. And that's basically a model. You want to build a model of your own business, of your own organization. Or if you're working as a lender at any bank, or you're working in equity research or in private equity or banking, all of those disciplines. Or if you're working on a consulting team or a deals team within one of the large accounting or at an accounting firm, you need modeling skills. So it's multidisciplinary because to be a good modeler, you first of all have to have very strong Excel skills. That's the tool that we use. You have to have strong accounting skills. You don't need to be an accountant, but you need strong modeling skills. So for instance, I've taught probably a couple thousand days of modeling courses over my career. Through the Marquee Group training business that I had started many years ago. And I teach accounting all the time because you need to understand accounting to build models. So you need to understand how the financial statements talk to each other. You need to understand how a subsidiary might flow through the income statement and create a non-controlling interest and then roll through the cash flow statement and where does it touch the balance sheet. You have to understand all the pieces and how they connect and talk to each other. So you have to understand Excel. You have to understand accounting. You have to understand business issues. You have to understand finance. You have to understand design. How do we design data and organize a model well? So we go through all of that in the accreditation. And when people achieve their accreditation, it means they have a strong basis in all of them. And so that was sort of a question you were asking.
So you grant the accreditation, correct?
So the Financial Modeling Institute, the organization that we started, is we are granting, yes, the accreditation. Now, the FMI, our accreditation body, is itself not accredited, but we were formed and created by a number of professionals around the world. We have an advisory council that's comprised of very senior financial modelers that are in New York. This group of people is in Canada, the US, in New York, in the UK, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Australia is where we have our advisory council. They are very senior professionals in banks. Three of them come from the four largest accounting firms. The head of financial modeling globally at PwC sits on our advisory council. PwC, by the way, uses our exams for their own people. So if you work at PwC in many of their offices and you want to join one of their transaction teams or their deal teams, you need to get through at a minimum our level one exam, which is called the AFM, the Advanced Financial Modeler Exam. So PwC is using this. You know, in a nutshell, the premise behind our exams are pretty simple. Our level one exam gives people a case study and says, here's 4 hours, go build a financial model of this company that we've given you a case study on. And that's it. And we literally give people 4 hours. The exams are proctored. They're highly controlled. And people have to build it up. And then we have a grading team all over the world that grades them on a very challenging rubric. And if people get past the bar, then the FMI, the institute we created, the Financial Modeling Institute, will bestow the designation and grant people their AFM. So that's how we function. We're sort of self-functioning in that way with, you know, a large network of people. I will also share with you, you know, some exciting news is the former CEO of the CFA Institute globally, who's based in Hong Kong, has just joined our team as a board member and as a senior advisor. And when he was heading up the CFA Institute, saw a tremendous need amongst finance professionals and CFA charter holders to have modeling skills. And so he's excited to help join us. We've got some other very senior industry professionals joining us as well, because they really believe in the need for this globally.
See, a friend of mine who got the CFA, and this is probably about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
He went to, I don't know what he was doing before, but he went to, took off full time. His wife is a doctor, but he took off full time, went to Georgetown University, all right, to get his degree in finance.
Yep.
All right. And then he studied for the CFA.
Okay. Right?
And he studied full time.
Really?
Right. Yeah. He didn't have to worry about income. Okay. All right. And I don't know how many parts there were to the CFA.
Yeah. Listen, people put in different amounts of time. I did my CFA designation years ago as well. The CFA program is three levels. It's three separate exams. Historically, you could only do them once a year. So it takes people at least 3 years typically to get through all of the exams. And you need, in the CFA, you got to get through all three of the exams and then get work experience. And then they bestow the designation upon you. I mean, there's a range. Most people like myself would study on weekends and evenings for a few months. And then, you know, I would always take off the week, a few days or a week before the exam, and just try to do a bit of extra cramming and more intense studying. And that was, you know, enough to get through that. I don't know too many people who've literally made it a full-time pursuit.
Well, I guess, all right. They had adopted a child, so he sort of took care of the child during the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was spending a few hours a day studying, I guess, when he could.
Now, he was a heavy in finance.
Yeah.
And the reason was that at the time, one of the parts of the CPA exam called the BEC part, business, environment, and concepts.
Yeah.
That has some finance in it.
Okay.
Finance, economics, And we found that someone who has that background is not going to be an accountant. So he was not a CPA. He was a CFA.
Okay.
And he taught the economics, taught the finance. The only problem is he couldn't bring it down to the level that you had to know as a CPA.
Got it.
Right? He was, I'm sure what he was saying was correct. All right. And he worked in derivatives. He worked for everything. But he eventually, I lost track with him and I bumped into him in D.C. And he was working for a big consulting firm,
Yeah.
And doing very well. But he was always out of town, a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
So I think to myself, is a CPA coming out of college, all right, is an accounting major coming out of college, all right, who passed the CPA exam going to be good at finance? I think they might if a lot of people now going into accounting and what they're doing is they're getting double majors.
Yeah.
So I know this young man, he's at the University of Colorado, all right, and there's a five-year program now to take the CPA exam, all right? So he'll finish up accounting in 4 years, but he still can't take the exam because he needs a fifth year of education. Right. So he's going to also major in finance. Now, he would sound to me like the perfect candidate.
Yeah.
All right. But I honestly, and I'm not saying anything bad about people coming out of accounting. We have so many online universities here.
Yeah.
And we also have, I hate to say it, we have universities here, not every university, where the people that are coming in and teaching, all right, this American Assembly Collegiate Schools of Business, they're only interested in one thing, all right, that these PhDs, they have to have a certain amount of PhDs, all right, they do research.
Yes.
So, all right, the students are not really taught well because we find that people who do research aren't necessarily good teachers.
Yeah.
All right, where now University of Maryland has thought, you know, there are people who don't want to publish, they don't want to do research, but they're excellent teachers, okay? All right, so if you're going into accounting, you want to learn accounting, all right? You don't care about the guy writing a research paper about something which is so esoteric that you don't really care what's in it. No one reads them anyway, all right? Now, I'm thinking to myself, can someone with just an accounting degree from a school go into an area like this? It sounds very sophisticated.
They can. They can. You know, we always like to say, I mean, as you know, accounting, there's a lot of overlap between accounting and finance. I'm on the finance side of the spectrum. And I like to say that, you know, a strong finance professional should have a strong accounting background. We like to say in finance that accounting is the language. That is the language of finance. Very difficult to be a strong finance practitioner if you do not have a strong accounting background. We don't want to practice accounting, but we need to understand it. You know, one of my favorite university profs in finance started off in the course by our corporate finance course and sort of said the major, you know, and I use this line, the people, you know, in university don't always understand the difference between accounting and finance. And, you know, he articulated, I thought, quite nicely when he said that accounting is not exclusively, but largely focused on the past and understanding what has happened and recognizing it and recording it and explaining it and making sure it's accurate. Whereas finance, by and large, is focused on the future. But of course, there's overlap. But to understand what the future is going to look like, you need to understand the language. And as I said earlier, understand, you know, if a company's doing the following things, how is that going to roll through their financial statements? How will a certain cost item impact working capital, touch the balance sheet, impact their capital structure? How will it all tie together on the income statement, balance sheet, et cetera? And so you need to be able to kind of think through that. But yes, if someone, because modeling is a very multidisciplinary skill set, if you already come into modeling and you have a strong accounting background, you have a leg up. You already have a great starting point compared with others who do not. So, you know, a lot of accountants come in and want to get certified. And they can. They often do a little faster, a little easier because they understand the accounting. They don't need to learn. They don't need to learn what depreciation is and what it means. They just need to understand how you model it and how you forecast it. So for sure, having an accounting background is always an outstanding starting point to then leapfrog into other areas, you know, of business.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Jaeger CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.